Well, good morning. Bless your hearts. Let's take our Bibles and go to Matthew chapter 9. How many have ever been involved in cleaning out the basement or the garage or your attic or something like that? Every time I do that, I always find the tools I needed last week. And, it's a great joy and a blessing when you can walk down the basement or you walk out in your garage and your tools are all in place and everything's there and you can get right to work and finish it up, clean everything up, and put it right back. It's great to have a well-arranged garage because it makes the work so much easier and the things that you want to get done very quickly. The Word encourages us to have our thoughts well-arranged. The same way, so that when things happen, when things occur, we have the proper thoughts and we have the proper place that we can go right to it and get those tools off the shelf, so to speak, and fix things and keep things moving. We need to have our thoughts well arranged so that we can have the courageous mind that it takes of a believer, that we can be confident in the truth. I was talking to someone one time and they were telling me about how they were just one thought away from committing suicide. And I thought, geez, I don't ever want to get that close. I want to have my thoughts so well arranged that there's such a variety of thoughts from God's Word before I would ever get to that place that I would be contemplating or considering ending my life. See, we should have our thoughts so well arranged we never even get that close. And we need to have our thoughts well arranged because people tend to make decisions based on emotions and feelings. We feel this way today, or something happens and it gets our emotions all flared up and we want to act in a certain way. But believing ones have to base their decisions on logic and truth. It has to be logic and truth. If it's just logic, all truth will always be logical, but not all logic would necessarily be truth. So we want it based on logic and truth, which the Word of God directs us, what we should think, and lead our emotions under the direction of our thoughts, that we can have our thoughts well arranged. In the Bible, there's a phrase that is stated, be of good cheer or be of good comfort. It's the word tharseo, which is used 8 times. Translated, be of good cheer or be of good comfort in the Bible. And it's used 8 times, but it's only in 6 records. And I wanted to go there with you and look at them because they direct us specifically in areas that we should have our thoughts well arranged so that we can be courageous of mind, so that we can have great confidence in God's Word. And here in Matthew chapter 9, we'll start off. It says, and he, Jesus, entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. So here he is in Nazareth. And in verse 2 it says, and behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith or their believing, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of what? Good cheer. Have your thoughts well arranged. Be of a good courage. Have confidence. Thy sins be what? Forgiven thee. Thy sins be forgiven thee. The first thing that we need to have our thoughts well arranged on is on forgiveness. That we have been forgiven. We need to have our thoughts so well arranged that when the attack comes against our forgiveness from God, it has so many thoughts that it has to go through before it would get us to the place where we would be in condemnation. Let's look at a few places that we can arrange our thoughts around. Like in Isaiah chapter 1. Look at Isaiah. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah. And in Isaiah chapter 1, there's a great record, and it's really in light of our daysman and our intercessor, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Isaiah 1, chapter 1, verse 18, it says, come now. Come on now, and let us reason together. Let's logically discuss this. Let's reason according to the scriptures and according to the word, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. See, one of the first places we have to look at in regard to and setting our minds so that we have a logical thinking process is that there is forgiveness. And though our sins be as scarlet, they're going to be white as snow. That's how great that forgiveness is. And though they be like crimson, they're going to be like wool. They're going to be just, you know, beautifully white. Look at the 103rd Psalm. See, the first place we need to get our thoughts well arranged on is in relationship to forgiveness of sins. That there is no sin for us, especially as born-again ones, that we cannot be forgiven. There's only one unforgivable sin, and as sons of God, we can't commit that because we've already been born again of God's Spirit. But here in the 103rd Psalm, verse 11, we'll start from verse 10. He hath not dealt with us after our what? Sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Isn't that a great way to really see the greatness of the love of God? How much God loves us? He doesn't deal with us according to our sin. He doesn't reward us according to our iniquities. So then this dealing with us according to our sin and this rewarding us according to our iniquities has to come from a completely different place than from God. A little bit different thinking, isn't it? Mm-hmm. That's why we need to have our thoughts well arranged so that when the attack on our forgiveness comes, we know where it's coming from. We have a tendency, oh, I've sinned. Oh, I'm such a sinner. Look at the hymns we sing. I'm such a worm as me, or, a wretched one, and all this other stuff that we sing about. But the scriptures tell us he does not deal with us after our sins, nor does he reward us according to our iniquities. So if we're getting dealt with according to our sin and we're getting rewarded according to our iniquities, it has to be coming from a completely different place. Can you wrap your mind around that? Mm-hmm. See, can you well arrange your thoughts in regard to that? For as heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear us. Well, how high do the heavens go above the earth? Well, clear to the firmament. That's pretty far. Verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Can you well arrange your thoughts around that? As far as the east is from the west. You know, doesn't say north and south, because here if I start at the North Pole and I start traveling south, once I reach the South Pole, what happens? I'm traveling north again, but not with east and west. Once I take off and I start moving east, when do I stop moving east? It never happens. That's as far as God is concerned, he'll separate us from our sin to where we never meet up with it again. Can you get your thoughts well arranged around that? When the attacks come, see, let's not have it like the attic upstairs. I know it's somewhere in this trunk. We're pitching everything all over the place. I know it's got to be up here someplace. We have to have our thoughts well arranged so that we can be courageous of mind. We can be confident. Well, I thought it was up there. Look at Hebrews chapter 8. The first place we need to do is have our thoughts well arranged concerning our forgiveness. In Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. So if your sins and iniquities keep coming back to you, it can't be from God because he doesn't remember it. The problem is you keep remembering it, or the adversary keeps stirring it up. Do you have your thoughts well arranged so that it doesn't attack your heart? See, that's the place you have to be. Look at, let's go back to Matthew chapter 9. See, what is the arrangement of your thoughts when it comes to your forgiveness? Romans 11:29 says we've passed from death unto life. But the scriptures say you've passed from death unto life. I do want to look at Romans 11:29, but I want to just look here for a second. It says in verse 2, and behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed, and Jesus, seeing their faith or their believing, saith unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, have your thoughts well arranged, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their what? Thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil where? In your hearts. Well, see that they had no way to, they did not have their thoughts well arranged. They allowed evil to become the thoughts of their hearts. Well, whose area of responsibility is the heart? Yours. Remember, the word tells us, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it comes the issues of life. That's your area of authority. That's your area of responsibility. And you should exercise power over that area to keep your thoughts well arranged so that they don't come up that way. For whether it's easy to say, verse 5, thy sins be forgiven thee, or say, arise and walk, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power, and that word power is exousia. That is the authority to exercise power over an area of responsibility, and that area of responsibility is where? Next two words. On earth, to forgive sins. Then saith he, the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thy house. And he what? Arose, and departed to his house. So what was the area that was holding this man back from his healing? Well, he didn't think he was forgiven. And once he got his thoughts well arranged, then that healing was able to come through. Let's look at Romans 11:29. Acts, Romans, chapter 11, verse 29. See, it says, for the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. That's another great thing for us to remember in regard to forgiveness. If you've been a minister, if you've walked with an energized ministry, or when it comes to your eternal life, the gifts, eternal life, you're saved by grace. It is the gift of God. So can you lose your eternal life? See? Are your thoughts well arranged that you don't get into this condemnation that, oh, now I've lost my salvation. Oh, now God, I have no way back to God. Have your thoughts what? Well arranged so that you can be courageous of mind and stand against the adversary, stand against the accuser, stand against those accusations against your life. See? Look at where to be courageous of mind. Look at Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. We'll start in verse 23. Romans 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God had set forth to be a propitiation, that means payment on behalf of someone, completely in full, through the faith that is in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are what? Through the forbearance of God. So your past sins are remitted through Jesus Christ. See, we have to have our thoughts well arranged. Get them lined up. Get them well arranged. Get those tools right where you need them. See? Look at Philippians. Remember, I said that the adversary will always be there to try and trick you, but the Word of God says God forgives you and he remembers them no more. Sure. Philippians chapter 1, verse 28, it says, "And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you salvation and that of God." Sure, because every time we stand, every time we put on that courageous mind and we stand against those attacks that our adversary brings against us, those accusations that are brought against us, it shows our victory in Christ. See? And like that old saying is, when the adversary tries to remind you of your past, you remind him of his future. See, you've got redemption from sins that are past. Well, what about the ones today? Well, that's taken care of too. Look at 1 John. See, have your thoughts well arranged so that you can be courageous of mind, so that you can be confident and bold in our day and time. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He's faithful and just. Doesn't say he might. There's a possibility he will. It says he is faithful and he is just to forgive us our sins. And not only that, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Fulfillment of that scripture. Do you have your thoughts well arranged? That when it comes to the sins that you've had, when you've confessed them, you are now white as snow. Though they be as scarlet, they're going to be white as wool. Isn't that beautiful? See? And one of the reasons in that record, you'll see how much that the adversary uses past sins to try and keep you locked into sickness. That's why he said to him, thy sins be forgiven thee. Look at John chapter 9. I'll just show you this real quick. And how thinking goes. John chapter 9. It says, and when Jesus passed by, John 9, verse 1, and when Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth, from the time he was born. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did what? Sin, this man or his parents, that the reason being he was what? Born blind. See how the adversary tries to tie sickness into sin? He was born blind. See, who did sin? And if you really look at this, if the man sinned, it'd have to be in a previous life if he was born blind. See how all of these thoughts and all these philosophies and influence had been there. But we need to have our thoughts well arranged, that we've been forgiven, that he cast it as far as the east is from the west, that he remembers it no more. He's faithful and just. That when our sins were as scarlet, he made it white as snow. And when it was crimson, he made us as wool. Just terrific. See, that's where we should have our thoughts. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. So when we're attacked, We have not just one thought to stand against the adversary, but we have multiple thoughts, that we have our thoughts well arranged, that they're lined up, that he can't get through. Verse 1. Romans 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So beautifully said. See? Just terrific. We should have our thoughts well arranged so that we can be confident, that we can be courageous of mind and not beat down and think that we're less than what we really are. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 9. Here's the next record. Remember I told you there's eight times it's used, this phrase, but it's only six records because this record is reflected again in Luke chapter 8, verses 43 through 48. Here it tells us to have our thoughts well arranged. And in Matthew chapter 9, it says, we'll start in verse 20, and behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. That's that same phrase, that same word. It's translated, be of good comfort. Thy faith or thy believing hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that very hour. Now I'd like to go to Luke chapter 8, and we'll go ahead and read it here also. This also helps to really set our minds and our thoughts in regard to this tremendous truth, to have our thoughts well arranged so we can be courageous of mind, that our believing hath made us whole. It starts in Luke 8, verse 43, and the woman having an issue of blood 12 years, see it's the same record, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of what you'd call an incurable disease. Right? Well, what's your answer to an incurable disease? What do you have already arranged in your thought life? How are your thoughts well arranged to stand against an incurable disease? Came behind him, verse 44, and touched the border of his garment, and immediately the issue of blood was staunched. And Jesus said unto her, Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue or power is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed. How? Immediately. Immediately of an incurable disease. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Be of good cheer. Have your thoughts well arranged. Be courageous of mind. Thy faith or thy believing hath made thee whole. Do what? So that there's not a question. It wasn't magical clothes that Jesus was wearing. It wasn't just touching the master's clothes. But it's your believing that made you whole. It's your faith that made you whole. The world uses the word faith to make it like a magical thing. It's like neither here nor there. If you ask somebody, what is faith, they have no explanation for it. They just tell you, you need more. Well, Romans 12:3 tells us that when we were born again, we received the measure of faith. We received the standard of faith, and the standard of faith is the faith of Jesus Christ. So how could we need more faith? But, you know, you put it in this nebulous thing, it's just a cover. Because they don't believe that you can really be healed. because they're still waiting around for Jesus' robe to end up someplace. But have the tenacity of mind to realize that is your believing in the power of God, that's what made you whole. Your believing in the Word of God, that's what made you whole. It was your believing. It wasn't something psychosomatic. It wasn't magical clothes. It's something that is still here and still present today. Believing the Word of God, that's what made you whole. These tremendous records of it. See, are your thoughts well arranged regarding healing that you can garner for yourself what God has available? Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers, even in incurable diseases. Are your thoughts well arranged so that if the adversary should attack you, you are well prepared in your mind to handle that attack? Okay. My sins have been forgiven me. Can't be. See, all of those tremendous things. Let's look at Romans. I just want to show it to you and let you read it for yourself. Because everybody sits around, maybe not sits around, we go for our third and fourth work of grace and we do all these different things trying to get our faith up, so that we can have the promise of God for ourselves when he gave us the measure of faith, and all you need to do is simply take God at his word, believe it, and walk out on it. Romans chapter 12, verse 3, it says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to every man that is among you, all the believing ones, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think," and that's a figure of speech, it means just the opposite. It means think big. Think according to the measure of faith that's been given, but to think soberly, look at it, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of what? If you've got the measure of faith, can you get any more? No. And if he's dealt it to you, then you must have it. So you simply need to believe and then act on it. Have you your thoughts well arranged in regard to that, so that you can stand against the wiles of the devil? See, are your thoughts well arranged that he has to go through all of those thoughts before he would ever get to your heart? Your heart is so guarded by these tremendous thoughts of truth that you're not just out there in nebulous land. Do I have enough faith? Oh, God. How would you know? If it's invisible and it's all this, how would you know you finally got enough? Well, then I would be healed. Well, why don't you believe that you have it? Because you'd never know if you got it. You might as well believe it and then be healed. See, have your thoughts well arranged. Be courageous of mind. Be confident in the promises of God. The next one is in Matthew chapter 14. Let's go. I kind of picked on Matthew. This one also has a companion record in Mark chapter 6. It's the same record, but we want to look at the one in Matthew chapter 14. And we're going to start in verse 24. It says, "But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary." Means there were, a pretty good storm blowing up there. Another record, it says the winds were boisterous and so forth. Verse 25, "And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them," to the disciples that were in the ship, which he sent away. This is after he fed the, I think it was 5,000. Anyways, they're out in the ship. They're trying to get some rest, and it's a storm. And in the fourth hour of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. It shook them up, saying, "It is a spirit." The word is phantasma. It's a phantom. And they cried out for fear. They were terrified. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, what? Be of good cheer. Have your thoughts well arranged. Be courageous of mind. Be confident. It is what? I. Be not afraid. We are to have our thoughts well arranged on who Jesus Christ is. They thought he was a phantom. We're to have our thoughts well arranged. We're to be courageous of mind on exactly who Jesus Christ is. Are your thoughts well arranged regarding Jesus Christ? Do you know who he is and what he was capable of doing? Because the word of God in John 14:12 says, the works that I do shall ye do also, and greater works than these, because I go unto the Father. We need to have our thoughts well arranged on exactly who is Jesus Christ. It is I. Have your thoughts well arranged. It is I. Do we know who he is and what he can do? Look at, put a ribbon here. We're going to come back to it, but let's go to a couple of pages to Matthew 16. In Matthew chapter 16, starting in verse 13, it says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Okay, it's a good question. And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist. Some say Elijah, and others Jeremias, or Jeremiah the prophet, or one of the prophets. So there's a multiple of different things people think Jesus Christ is. There's a multiple of different things people think Jesus Christ is today. Some teach that he is, say, just one of the prophets among the other prophets. Some of them teach he's a phony. Some of them teach other things. Some of them don't even recognize him. But we are to have our thoughts well arranged on who Jesus Christ is, so that we can be absolutely confident in order that we may do the works that he did, and greater works than he did. See, we're to have our thoughts well arranged. Who do people say I am? Verse 16, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Some think he's somebody else. But it's clear he's the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is where? In heaven. Isn't that tremendous? That's where we should have our thoughts well arranged on exactly who Jesus Christ is. He is the Son of God. See? The Christ, the Son of the living God. We should have our thoughts well arranged on who Jesus Christ is. Look at Luke chapter 7. And people fall away from that. And have fallen away from that because they haven't had their thoughts well arranged to where they can be confident, where they can state emphatically, without any question, who is Jesus Christ? I'll tell you who he is. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. He's the Savior of the whole world. He is the Son of the living God. Luke chapter 7. Well, start in verse 16, it says, and there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about, and the disciples of John showed him all of these things. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, art thou he that should come, or what? Look we for another. Even John the Baptist wavered a little bit there. Needed to find out, well, who do you think he is? Who do you think he is? Are your thoughts well arranged on who he is and what he has done and when and what he can do? Verse 20, and when the men were come unto him, they said, John the Baptist that sent us unto thee, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And in the same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and gave, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached, and so on. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. See, do you have your thoughts well arranged on exactly who Jesus Christ is? It is I, be not afraid. If we don't know who he is, we're going to be afraid. If we really understand who he is, then we will not fear. Isn't that a tremendous record? Well, let's go back to Mark 16. Is it Mark 16? Matthew, rather. I'm sorry. Matthew 14. Matthew 14. And again, in Mark 6, this record is repeated again. Back to verse 27. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. Have your thoughts well arranged. It is I. We need to know who Jesus Christ is. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. And he, Jesus, said what? Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to who is also walking on the water. The works that he did, we shall do also if we know exactly who he is. Have you gotten your thoughts well arranged so that you are absolutely confident, you are courageous of mind to know who Jesus Christ is, and that you have such a arrangement of thoughts that doubts and worries cannot break their way through that? See, on who Jesus Christ is, then you will know who you are as a son of God. See, we need to be courageous of mind and have our thoughts well arranged on who Jesus Christ is. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior of the world. Well, let's go to the next one. That's in the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Isn't it great to understand these things and know that we can have our thoughts well arranged? We just need to get the scripture so that we're not blown about by every wind of doctrine. We're not just emotionally taken here and there and yonder, and our hopes go out to other men. Our hope is to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our hope. John 14. Oh, we already covered that. John 16, I'm sorry. John 16, verse 33. John 16:33. Look at it from verse 32. Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is where? These things I have spoken unto you. What things? That the Father is with me. No matter what happens, the Father is. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. And the word tribulation is just pressures, the pressures of life, mental pressures. But be of good cheer. There it is again. Have your thoughts well arranged. I have overcome what? The world. Was Jesus in the same world we're in? And he overcame it. So we should be of good cheer. Why? Because the Father is what? With us. That's, And that in him you might have peace. And the word peace here is the result of forgiveness enjoyed. See how forgiveness keeps tying through this and why it's the first usage? It not only ties into healing, but it also ties into other things. It's the result of forgiveness enjoyed. We've been forgiven. In the world, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have mental pressure. He didn't say you might, could possibly happen. This may happen to you. It did to me. No, it says ye what? Shall have tribulation. You're going to have it. But be of good cheer. Have your thoughts so well arranged because he overcame the world with that peace. The same way we will overcome that world. We will overcome the world knowing that the Father is what? With us. He has not left me alone. Verse 32. See? Look at Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13. Verse 5. It says, let your conversation, the word conversation is Old English, it's King James English for your manner of life, be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. Covetousness is wanting what somebody else has. Let me just rephrase that. Wanting somebody else's. It's fine, you know, it's fine as far as God is concerned if you want to have a wife like my wife. God thinks that's fine. I do too. But when you want my wife, that's covetousness. Mm-hmm. It's fine to want one like that. Covetousness is when you want that one. Got it? That's what he's talking about. And be content with such things as ye have, for he had said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And I forget in the Greek, it's like in the triple invective something or other where I will never, never leave thee nor never, never, ever forsake thee. It's that emphatic. So that, here's the reason why he will never leave us or forsake us and why we are to have our thoughts well arranged concerning that, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper and I will not fear. What shall man do unto me? What could possibly happen in this world that a man could do to me because he will never leave me nor ever forsake me? The Lord's my helper. So what is a man going to do to me? See? Have your thoughts well arranged so that you can be courageous of mind, so that you can withstand the pressures of this world. I'd like to go to Mark chapter 10. I'd like to just double back. Aren't these great records? Mm-hmm. And why this phrase, it's used so many times, used six times, which is the number for man, and man ought to take advantage of it. Mark chapter 10, and we'll start in verse 46. And you're familiar with this one. It says, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more, a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort. Same word, tharseo, as be of good cheer. Rise, he what? Calleth thee. Are your thoughts well arranged? He has called you. Have your thoughts well arranged. He has called you. The shepherd goeth before his sheep, and he calleth them, and they hear his voice, and they follow him. Another they will not follow because they don't know his voice. But the shepherd, have you heard the shepherd's call? Are you sure you know the shepherd's voice? See? And then also, do you know how God speaks within you to will and to do of his good pleasure? Do you hear his still small voice? Are you familiar with it? Have your thoughts well arranged, because it's a still small voice. And you got to calm the storms of the mind and the storms of thoughts that pass through, so that you hear the still small voice and you know you're able to do God's will, because our Father will never leave us nor forsake us. He talks to us. He loves us. He cares for us. Do you hear the Father's voice? See? Get to the place that your thoughts are well arranged, that they're well arranged, that you can separate the sound of the storm from the sound of his voice, from the sound of the storm to the sound of your own voice. What thoughts are coming from you and what thoughts are being injected? Do you know the difference? Can you tell the difference? Sometimes people have had these things so long that these thoughts and things that come up, they think it's their own telling themselves these terrible things, and not the spirit realm. See, we need to get quiet on the inside. Have your thoughts well arranged so you could stay quiet on the inside and you could discern God's thoughts. And you can discern God's thoughts from your own thoughts, and you can discern evil thoughts from your own thoughts, and see where it's coming from, and then cut it off. See? Just tremendous. What a wonderful record. He calleth thee, and he casting away his garment rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt that I should do to thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. There it is again, the healing. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. But do you hear his call? Do you know his voice? Have your thoughts well arranged so you can discern. Think of kids, where I grew up in the city. We'd be out playing stickball or football in the street or something like that, stoop ball, whatever, all these different things. That we would do tag and all this, and running around in the street, and you know, you'd stop for the traffic and all that, but cars would be going by blowing horns and everybody'd be making noise. But you know, when your mother called out your name for dinner, you knew it was her voice. You knew her voice from everybody else's. You know, 5 o'clock, all these mothers would be out, Johnny, come home, you know, Anthony. All these different voices, but you knew the sound of your mother's voice. Well, we should know the sound of our Father's voice just as clearly and be able to pick it out and be able to move, see? Boy, oh boy, great records, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And then finally, let's go to Acts chapter 23. Acts chapter 23. This is the last of that phrase, be of good cheer. This is dealing with Paul when he goes to Jerusalem, and then he's taken from the temple. It said he took a Gentile in there, and all this stuff comes up, and he's being locked up. And it says... He's being questioned and all that. And then verse 10, it says, And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and take him by force from among them and to bring him to the castle or to the barracks where they were, and they would bring Paul there. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, Be of good cheer. Paul, have your thoughts well arranged. Be confident. Be courageous of mind. For as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. See, do you have your thoughts well arranged to know that the Lord stands with you so that you can be a witness for him? Have your thoughts well arranged. Let's not have our thoughts helter-skelter or all over the place, where when we need to grab hold of the Word, where we really need to grab hold of those solid thoughts of the scriptures for our minds so that we can carry out the things that we need to for the Lord. Or when we're challenged on those things, we don't have to go hunting through all the chests and different things to find the tool we need. It's right there. It's well arranged. It's right in place exactly where we need it so that we can be a wonderful witness for the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for your great word. Father, that we can get our thoughts well arranged around the truth of your word. And really know that we know that we know that we're your sons and that, Father, you've given us power, that we know the sound of your voice and that we're able to stand, that, Father, we know we are forgiven and that, Father, with all of the sounds and noises to try and make us feel guilty and make us feel less than what we are, we know it. Or when we're challenged in our health, Father, that we are absolutely aware that you can deliver even from the incurable. And that, Father, you are constantly our companion. What can man do for us? You never leave us nor forsake us. Father, we are so thankful we can be of good cheer, that we can have our thoughts well arranged, that we might be courageous of mind in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.